We're going to talk today about the nature and work of faith. We're in a series. This is part number 3 from Hebrews chapter number 11. Let's begin reading at Hebrews 11, verse number 1. Here's what the Bible says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that it pleased God, that he pleased God, excuse me. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Amen. The nature and the work of faith. We really kind of base this whole series on Hebrews 11, verse number 1, where the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, because it summarizes how God expects our faith to function. In the case of the Christian, faith is to be an action word. And we're going to talk about some action words of faith today. Our faith is to be the substance or the ground or the confidence or the foundation on which our hope stands. And what is our hope? We established our hope is the salvation of the Lord, the message of the gospel. So in summary, faith is the ground on which our hope in God stands. Amen. We've studied already that our faith testifies and our faith glorifies God, that our faith in God, the display of our faith in God, will condemn the world today. Just like Noah's faith in God condemned the world in his day, our faith also brings about a confidence in God. Or said differently, the more we act on our faith, the more we will act on our faith. How about that? That's the confidence that our faith in God will bring. The more we act on it, the more we will act on it. Abraham left his home, as we read, in faith, believing that God would do what he said he would do when he was ready to do it. He lived among strangers, like a stranger, the Bible said, for the remainder of his life, but he never gave up on God. And when God said that he would give him a seed from his own loins, he believed him. And his wife believed him. And God used Abraham and Sarah so much so that we speak about them and we preach about them today. And I tell you what, God can establish a faith in you and I, one that will be a legacy if we choose to be faithful to him. For us, faith has got to be an action word. And faith building for us has got to be an everyday occurrence. And the portion of this chapter that we're going to deal with today, we're going to address a little bit further Abraham and his faith, and how his faith and the faith of those in his family shaped their lives for God And I believe that there are lessons there for us. The work and the nature of faith, faith as an action word, faith as a motivator is what we're going to see in these four verses in Hebrews chapter number 11. First of all, I want to show you that faith sets new sight. Faith gives us new sight. A new sight. Now, and I want you to look at verse 13 again with me. It says, talking about Sarah and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob, they all died in faith, believing that God would do what he said he would do. Abraham received the promise directly from God. And I feel like we need to keep kind of going over this so that we can understand completely. Abraham received the promise of God. That's why he's called the father of our faith. Now look back at Genesis chapter number 12, page number 8 in your pew Bible. I want you to see that again. Abraham received the promise directly from God. And now we're going to see how, because of what Abraham saw, that God gave him a new vision, gave him new sight, changed the things that were important to him. Genesis chapter number 12. We're going to look at just two verses there, verses 2 and 3. Genesis 12, verse 2 and 3, the Bible says this, "And I will make of thee," this is God talking to Abraham, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." That promise was one that would require faith to believe in the first place. Abraham would be the start of a great nation. And I want you to understand where Abraham is when he gets this. Abraham is a man who is childless with his wife Sarah, and they have no prospects of children. But God is now telling him that he's going to be the father of a very large nation, that the whole world is going to be blessed by him. But faith is about believing beyond what you can see. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Faith is about believing beyond what you can see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. And that is the faith that Abraham, Father Abraham, held on. And it was that faith that gave him a new vision so that he could see beyond his situation and he could see the promise of God. And if I could just envision Abraham as he's living out his life, Abraham is saying, yes, this is happening, but God promised that. Yes, all of this is going on around me, but God promised that through my seed, the whole world was going to be blessed. And I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on trusting. I'm going to keep my eyes on the prize, no matter what. God gave him a brand new vision. Now let's look at the confirmation of his vision. Turn over, if you would, to chapter number 15. Chapter number 15, that's on page 10 in your pew Bibles, beginning at verse number 1. Here's God speaks to him now in a vision. He says, "And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Amen. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, count them if you can, is what he's saying, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And here's the key to a brand new vision. It says, and he believed in the Lord. God gave him new eyes. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness, is what the Bible says. Then Abraham had a little bout of weakness. We know the story of Abraham and Sarah. He had a little bit of a bout of weakness in that he went along with Sarah, his wife, and her desire to have a child in advance of what God had promised him through her Egyptian servant Hagar. And the boy Ishmael was born. But God promised Abraham that he would have a child through Sarah that would be the child of promise. And Abraham believed God, and God delivered on that promise, and the child Isaac was born. But then there came a day when God told Abraham to give him back. And I believe as we look at Abraham, how he followed through on the word of God, as he said, God, you said you'd give him to me. Now God says, give him back to me. Abraham says, God is still the God of promise. And I believe that Abraham went through with what God called on him to do because he had his eyes set on the prize, which was God was going to bless the entire world through his seed. Now, I want to show you that. Look at Genesis 22, page number 16. In Genesis 22, we see that God now calls upon Abraham to really check his eyesight to see if he really has his faith eyes fixed on him. In Genesis 22, let's read verses 1 and 2 first of all. The Bible says this, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. The Bible tells the story that then Abraham then gathered himself his men, his boy, and they went on their way, going to the point of Mount Moriah as God has instructed. Skip down to verse number 7. In verse number 7, they're now nearing the point that they're to go and to offer the sacrifice. In verse 7, the Bible says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Let me tell you something about vision, faith vision. Faith makes us speak to those who are around us about what we see through God. And I believe that Abraham had already spoke to Isaac and said, guess what, boy? You are a son of promise. Guess what? God said that through me, through you, and through your offspring, the entire world was going to be blessed. And it was because of that he could say to him, you know what? Get ready. We're going to do a sacrifice. And when he said to Isaac, Isaac said to him, where's the lamb? Why could Isaac go with him? Because he says, I'm looking to the same God that my daddy is looking for. And if he says God will provide a lamb, guess what? God will provide. Amen. Faith gives you a brand new eyesight, a brand new vision. And I tell you what, you know, if we talk to our children the same way, I believe we can have children like Isaac. That we can have children who will say, I trust in you and I trust in God because you trust in God. Now, we can't give them a faith. We can't give them salvation, but we can certainly show them our faithfulness to God by how we respond to this world and the things that we encounter. And here's old Abraham about to give his boy a great life lesson about eyes that are fixed on God. And Abraham says, God's going to provide, boy. Let's go. Let's go. Verse number 8. It says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there. And he laid the wood in order. And you notice that, and I don't think God leaves out a struggle, because there was not a struggle. The Bible says, and he bound Isaac his son, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called up unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Lay not thine hand upon the lad. Neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. And here's the vision. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked. And when he looked, you know, and I paused here way too long when I was reading this, because I thought, you know, was a lamb already there and he just didn't see it? I don't know. Did God miraculously just place the lamb there, the ram in the thicket? I don't know. But I can tell you something. I believe this man was so fixed on God that he was going to do God's business and nothing could distract him from that. And when God told him not to do anything, God provided for him the lamb. He looked up and there was God's sacrifice, because God did exactly what Abraham knew he was going to do. Provide for himself a lamb. And you know what? I believe that if we would remember that in every situation, no matter what we're up against, no matter what we struggle through, no matter who tries to come up against us, no matter what things we're applauded about, that we just need to remember that God's going to provide for himself. He's God anyway. He is going to provide for himself in every situation. You know what we ought to do? We ought to just praise him. We ought to just stand on our faith and look for him. Keep our eyes, our faithful eyes, set on our God. Faith gives you brand new vision to look beyond what's going on. And Abraham looked and he saw there was a lamb. And the Bible says, the Bible says here that he went and caught that ram, and he took that ram and he offered that ram for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Abraham had set his sights on God. He believed completely in the promises of God, and he was willing to take that faith all the way to the altar. He saw things differently, I believe, looking through the eyes of faith. Now, I want to show you how Jesus in the New Testament talks to us about Abraham and his eyes. Now, look at John chapter number 8. In John chapter number 8, that's on page 788 in your pew Bible. In John chapter number 8, we see that Christ now talks about Abraham and the fact that Abraham had eyes that were fixed on God. John chapter number 8. I believe we read some of John chapter 8 last week. But for this purpose, I had to double back. John chapter 8. Skip down, if you would, to verse number 54. John chapter number 8, verse number 54. The Bible says this. Jesus answered. He's talking to some who are declaring that they are the children of Abraham. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him." He's talking about people who have no faith. They claim they have faith, but they have no faith at all. He says, "You say you're God's children, but you don't know him." He says, "But I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham," and look at Abraham's vision, "your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad." Now we know that the story of Christ, and we know when Christ was born in that manger by Mary the Virgin. But the Bible says, let me tell you something about Jesus Christ. He has no beginning, he has no end. He says, Abraham, he might not have saw it with his physical eyes, but Abraham's faith gave him a brand new vision so that he could look through the clouds of time, and he could see that God was going to send a Messiah. He was going to bless the whole world through his seed being Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God gave him a brand new vision.
Amen.
And Jesus here says, guess what? He saw me. He saw me. That's faith. That's faith. And your faith today can give you a brand new vision. If you'll exercise your faith, a faith in God.
Amen.
A faith in God. He saw Jesus and he believed. The Bible says these all died in faith. That's what he says in Hebrews. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Sarah, they all died in the faith. They received the promise, but they didn't see the fulfillment of the promise. They didn't physically see Jesus. They didn't physically see his seed be multiplied and more than he could number. But they remained faithful, believing God that he would do what he said he would do. And that is the faith with a brand new sight. And how could they see it? Because God had painted a picture. God had given them a storybook. And every time God spoke to one of the prophets, he gave them a great account that he was going to be the salvation of the whole world, that you didn't have to worry about it. He painted a picture that his saints could see from the beginning of time, and they had seen God through his words. I tell you what, and there's so much of God's words that are just painted for us in a great picture here. I want to show you one, and we'll move on. Look at Isaiah 59. That's on page 551 of your pew Bible. Isaiah chapter number 59, new eyesight. That's what faith will do for you. Faith will give you a new vision so that you can see God, trust God, know God, stay faithful to God. Isaiah 59, skip down if you would, to verse number 16. And I want to show you something about people the children of Israel, we know that they were on again and off again. Their hearts were never quite right, never quite fixed on God as God's desire was for them to be. But God proved to them that He would never ever turn His back on them, and that He would be faithful even when they weren't. And through prophets like Isaiah, God painted a picture for them that if they would just keep their eyes fixed on Him, that He was going to prove Himself to be a mighty good God. Beginning in verse number 16, Isaiah 59, the Bible says this: "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation." Man, I hate to start there, but I got to start there. If you, when you get home, read all of 59, because it is awesome. And even 58, as it leads up to where exactly where we are, about what is going on. What God is showing us is that the people refused to be faithful to Him, refused to be to ask for forgiveness of their sins, and God is now going to show them that He is going to be the salvation that the world needs. Verse number 16. "So that he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, according he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them." And look at verse number 20. God says, "Open your eyes so that you might see that it is a great thing that I'm doing for you. Be faithful and know that I am going to send the seed, the promised seed, the Redeemer. I'm going to do exactly what I said." Verse 20 says, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." Now, I want you to see that God is painting a picture about His faithfulness and the fulfillment of His promises so that you will be able to stand in your faith today. Let's read a little bit more in chapter 60. He says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." I love the buts in the Bible. "But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons shall come to thee from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee." Now skip down, if you would, to verse number 18. I don't have time to read it all. Verse number 18. He says, "Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy wall salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time." God says, "Keep your eyes on me."
Amen.
Faith, new vision that will say, "I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Don't you forget it." Amen. Faith will give you new vision. Eyes that are fixed on God's plan. God hasn't hid it. God has revealed it to us. Faith also sets a new course. Faith sets a new course. Go back to Hebrews, if you would, one more time. Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, again, verse number 13, he says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises. But having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's the course that faith will set for us. He says, you know, we've already talked about the destination. We know where the faithful will ultimately reside. We know where Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac are right now because they were on a collision course with God. We know that. But how did they get there is our point of discussion. They saw the things of God far off. The Bible says they were persuaded of them and they embraced them and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were persuaded. Faith sets a new course. The Bible says they were persuaded of their faith in God. You know what that means? They had no doubt.
Amen.
That they lived their lives believing God. They had no doubt in God's promises. They were satisfied in their souls that God would do what He said He would do. They were satisfied in their souls. The Bible says that they also embraced their faith in God. If I could give you a picture of that, it's like they drew themselves to the promises of God, and then they just embraced God in that way, that they weren't willing to ever let go of the promises of God. I try to think of what was the very best example I could give you of what it means to be persuaded, to be satisfied in their souls, and then yet to have embraced God in such a way that nothing could ever kind of yank that away from you. And the only thing that came to my mind right away was the story of the three Hebrew boys. And because those were some boys who were standing in their faith, and God set a brand new course for their lives, and they said nothing's going to change. And now I want to show you that very quickly in Daniel chapter number 3. Page 653 in your pew Bibles.
Amen.
Daniel chapter number 3. Skip down if you would to verse number 13. While you're turning, I'll catch you up. King Nebuchadnezzar had built an image. And in this image that he built to glorify himself, he made a decree that whenever they played from all of these instruments, that everyone was to bow down and praise him. But there were these three Hebrew boys who refused to bow down, and their refusal to bow down made some of the king's boys very upset, and they went and reported to the king about these three Hebrew boys, that they were not doing as the king had required. And it was the king's decision that these boys should be brought to him so that he could talk to them himself and give them another chance to give their honor and their faith and their reverence to him rather than to their own God. In verse number 13 of chapter number 3, we're going to pick up reading there, and the Bible says this. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 13. Says this, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and his fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? I tell you what, you think about the times when we have to either stand for God or stand for what the world says is right. You know, we're never up against what these boys were up against because, you know, the fiery furnace was not something that Nebuchadnezzar created for them. It was something that he had already created in the event that anybody did not want to bow down. And these boys knew the consequences, yet they were ready to be faithful to God because they had set their sights on God, because they had embraced him. They had embraced their faith in him. They were persuaded, satisfied in their souls that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. And here they stand now with Nebuchadnezzar calling them out on their faith. Verse number 15 says, now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? I tell you what, now, Nebuchadnezzar, he was like many of the people in the church today. He believed that if God didn't perform a miracle, then he wasn't God at all. But let me tell you, the boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were men who stood on faith. And they stood on the will of God, that the will of God was going to be performed in their lives. And the will of God might have been that they be spared, And the will of God might be that they be with him immediately. And so we're going to see that he says, all right, if he's really God, then he's going to deliver you. Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. We're not afraid. We're not scared to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, it doesn't change who he is. You know what? I think we ought to highlight that in our Bible, that he can. But if he doesn't, he is still God. He is still God. I mean, that is the faith. That is what faith will do for you. That's the action word right there. It sets you on a brand new course that says God is able, but if he does not, he is not any less able. He is still God. He says, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. We know what happened then. It says, then those men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, I don't want you to miss what Nebuchadnezzar was doing there. He said, I know how to start a good fire. He says, and it will really start a good fire. You need some fuel. He says, wrap them up in all their clothes, put them in everything they had on, because clothing burns quick. It's going to set those fellows on fire, and they're going to be tormented. And that's what he wanted to do. And verse number 22 says, therefore called, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurts. And here's what faith will do for you. It says, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.
Amen.
That's some good stuff.
Amen.
That's some good stuff.
Amen.
Faith sets a new course. It says, if I perish, guess what? I perish.
Amen.
But I will still serve my God. It made me think about Esther. And that was Esther's line. If I perish, then I perish. But today I go before the king. Faith sets a course that says, my soul is satisfied with the Lord. And I believe that the Lord is going to do what he wants to do. He's still God. Back in Hebrews 11:13, it also says, not only were they persuaded, not only did they embrace their faith, but it says they also confessed the faith in God. They said, this is not my home. I'm just passing through. They confessed it as they remained strangers. The Bible says they never really put down roots. They never had permanent roots. They never built themselves a house, never built themselves a mansion. But they were like missionaries of sort. They just came in to do what God wanted them to do, and they wanted to be there for as long as God would have them to be there. But they were ready to move as God called upon them to move. And I tell you what, it is through our faith in God, I believe, that we will establish a new course for our lives that says we will never, ever, ever turn back. Look at Psalm 42, page 445. And what we're going to see as we look at Psalm 42 is a struggle of sort that was written for our learning, our example. And it shows us how our faith can somehow be tested by the things that are going on around us. But we just need to stay faithful to our God. Stay on God's course. Psalm 42. Everybody's there but me. Psalm 42. I want to show you this. We're going to read the entire psalm. Look at verses 1 and 2 speak about being faithful to God. In Psalm 42, verse 1, it says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? But then there's circumstances. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. And in verse 5, here's faithfulness. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. But if we lose sight and we look back on our circumstances, look what the writer wrote. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. But then in verse 8, eyes are back on God. It says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. But then we take our eyes off God and then our circumstances. Mm-hmm. Verse 9, he says, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, whilst they say daily unto me, where is thy God? But praise the Lord, the writer of the psalm, he ended with a declaration of faith on a new course to serve God. It says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. I tell you what, we need to have a faith that has a course set on praising God. Recognizing that sometimes we're going to be pulled to and fro. But like the writer of the psalm here, even in the midst of being pulled away, we need to remind ourselves and say, why are you cast down, O your soul? Hope in God. Hope in God. Set your sights on God. So first of all, faith, it gives us a new vision. Faith sets a new course for us. And then finally, faith sets us apart. Go back to Hebrews one more time. Hebrews 11, one last time. Faith is an action word for the believer. It ought to be. Faith is what gives us the vision to go on despite our circumstances. Faith is what sets the course for us to carry on despite our circumstances. As we saw in Psalm 42, we might be weighed down by the world, but if we'll just remember, where is our God? Where is our hope? Then God will keep us on the right course. And then finally, our faith is what sets us apart for God. Let's begin reading in verse number 14 this time. It says, for they that say such things, have not received the promises, but are still faithful to God. Those who have seen him far off, his promises far off. Those who were persuaded in God. Those who have embraced their faith in God. Those who have confessed that they're just strangers here on this earth. It says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Faith sets us apart. The faithful, the God followers, the Christian. They that say they've received the promises, they that have seen God afar off, those who have no doubt, those who have embraced God and the truth of his word, those who have been drawn into a relationship with God, those who are holding tight, those who have confessed that this world is not our home, those who have set a new course and are thereby set apart for God. The Bible says they are seeking a country, a heavenly country. I want you to see something that I think is real important for us. In verse number 15, God is talking to us about being faithful. In verse number 15, it says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." What the Bible's saying here is that Abraham and Sarah, God called on them to leave the place where they had been, been born and raised, where their families were. He says, "Let me tell you something. If they had spent a lot of time thinking about what people at home were doing, if they had spent a lot of time saying, you know, I bet things are better back at home," he said, "they would have had opportunity. They would have been mindful to go back." And let me tell you something about you and I, because I think this is for us. We need to be set apart for God in this way. Some people like to talk about the good old days. And I want you to know that if the good old days were days when you without Christ, you were without Christ, they weren't that good. And we don't need to be talking about the good old days. We don't need to be living in those old days when we did not know God. Because if you start living in those days, you might be mindful to return to those days. But our faith is to set us apart. Our faith is to set us apart. He says they weren't dwelling on what the folks at home were doing. They weren't dwelling on what you and I ought not to be dwelling on what the folks in the world are doing, what they're doing in the nightclub, what they're doing in places where we ought not to be. We don't need to dwell on what used to be in our lives and what used to be important to us. We need to be dwelling on God and our faith in God. Be mindful of what is before us and not what is behind us. These are the good old days. The days in which we serve God faithfully are the good old days. And we're looking forward to the grand old days when we're with Christ. You know, I think a lot of people are trapped because they look back. A lot of people don't find any joy in praising the Lord because they're spending so much time looking over the fence and what the other people are doing. But God says we need to be set apart. We need to be set apart. Couple more things and then I'm done. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. It's on page 879. He says if they had been spending more time thinking about, talking about what was going on back in the old land, he said they might have been mindful to go back. And you say, well, how could that ever happen? Well, we've seen the story of the children of Israel. They were slaves. But when they were in their deliverance, they started thinking about what it was like back in Egypt. And they even thought, why not go back over there? It might be better for us. But we see that God is telling us that we ought not to be thinking about going back at all. That we need to be going forward in our faith with our eyes fixed on Him. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, beginning at verse number 1, here's what God says to us as believers. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And here's what I want to share with you. He says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." In other words, if you're going to be a believer in Christ, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to say that you are a believer, you're going to say that you have faith, then don't get tangled up with what's going on around you. He says, because if we get tangled up into the world, guess what? We're no good to God. Where does it say that? Well, let me show you where it says that. It says, "No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this world, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." He says, you're not going to be any good. If we're going to be any good for God, then we've got to say no to the world so that we can please God who has chosen us. And it says, "And if a man also strive for masteries," if a man strives to be good, if a man strives for a reward, he says, "This man who strives for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully." He says, you know what? We got to serve the Lord. We got to serve him right. We got to be faithful. We got to follow his course. And we got to be set apart for him. God calls on us to have a new course, a course that is set by faith in him. I want to show you a couple more scriptures and then I'm done. Look at Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. It's on page 868 in your pew Bibles. In Philippians chapter number 3, I believe Paul makes this point even stronger for us. Because he tells us that we need to be set apart for God. That we need to not dwell on the things that were in our old lives, but we need to look forward. We need to press on toward what it is that God has called upon us to do. In Philippians chapter number 3, skip down to verse number 7. We'll read through verse 16. Here's what the Bible says. It says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this thing I do." If I could just kind of say there for just a second. You know, what Paul is talking about is what God has allowed him to do, the calling that God has placed on his life. Paul is saying, "I'm not perfect by any means. I haven't done everything that God has called upon me to do." But in verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, not to have done it all, not to have gained it all, not to have been perfect." He says, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." He says, "I'm setting a new course. I'm not focusing on the things that used to be. I'm forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark," he says, "for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained." He says, all those things that we've already gained, all those things that we've already learned, all those things that we know as a body of believers, he says, let us walk by the same rule. Let us serve God. Amen. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. That's what he says. We are to be set apart. One last, and we'll be done. Titus chapter 2. He says, not that I have learned all that I need to know, not that I've done all that God has called upon me to do. I'm not perfect, but I'm perfectly satisfied that the stuff that's behind me, it doesn't matter anymore. And I'm not putting my eyesight on that anymore, but I'm pressing on towards that which God has called on me to do. I'm looking forward. And in Titus chapter number 2, I think God makes it pretty clear that his expectations of us are faith with new eyes, a new vision, a new course, a new people to be set aside for him. Titus 2, verse 11, we'll read through the end of the chapter and we'll be done. "It's for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." In other words, we all have the same opportunity at salvation, same opportunity at faith. And what is the faith doing for us? It's teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Setting a new course, looking for that blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And what was his purpose? That he might redeem us from all iniquity. That he might purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. To the faithful, God says, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you." Faith for us ought to be an action word. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. It is our faith in God that gives us a new vision to see the things of God that sets our lives on a brand new course to follow faithfully after our God. That sets us apart for God. To be a peculiar people for God. Not looking back at what I used to be, but looking forward at what God's going to do with me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, for the clarity of your word, I'm thankful. I pray, Lord, that your word is spoken to each one of us as we have special need. I pray, Lord, that you will show each of us how that we can have a faith that is firmly founded in the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to see that faith is about not what we can see, but what we cannot see and what we can believe in. Help us to believe in you and all that you've done for us. Help us to start our faith at the point of creation, Lord, to believe that you created everything that we see out of absolutely nothing. And then, Lord, help us to have faith to believe in the hope that you have laid before us, that Redeemer, the one in which we ought to praise, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the seed of Abraham, Father, who you sent to be the Savior of the world. Thank you, Lord, for the universal opportunity for salvation and that you open the gates of heaven, not only to your chosen people, but to all people who would choose you, those who would call upon your name, who would confess a faith in you, Father, who would ask for forgiveness of their sins. I pray that you'll help us to know you in that way. I pray, Father, that we would be set apart, set aside, that we would determine in our hearts that we're going to not fall victim to the world and all that the world tries to throw into our path, that we might not envy those who are without Christ, Father, but that we might be a people of faith, that we might be a people of faith who will be fixed in our faith, looking and pressing towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful that you're such a good God, that you have given us such a clear picture of your plan for mankind. I pray if there be one today who's listening who doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that you would open their hearts to receive the gospel, the message of Christ. Save them for your own sake, Father, I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.